Yeah, we never talk about civilian disobedience. I mean, it was more about just taking back the right way for people in general, not only for artists, but saying that there is a path where when it's just absurd, when situation, political situation or human being situation are indecent, you have to take an action. And sometimes it can be a very small action, which becomes huge for the population, which becomes huge for the society. And that's why I decided to take an action instead of going in the street with manifestation with the other artists. I decided to go on my own just to denunciate that absurd situation.
This is the podcast to restore your faith in humanity. Once giraffe heroes, we now call our participants guardians of humanity. Courageous, tireless workers for the common good. May each of them inspire you to follow in their tracks and contribute your own part to a just society and a healthy environment. Welcome to another episode of the podcast to restore your faith in humanity. With us today is Quentin Dujardin, a Belgian guitarist who I personally admire very, very much. I had the chance of seeing him at work 2 weeks ago in duo with the astounding harmonica player Olivier Kerr-Ouriot, only one of the many, many musical collaborations Quentin engaged in during his musical career. Quentin is classically skilled and indeed plays the most classical guitar of all, the Spanish guitar, but there is no music style in which he does not venture. He has collaborated with the late great Toots Thielemans and with the American producer Lee Townsend, but has also worked live or in the studio with so many other great musicians from all corners of the world, since Quentin Dujardin is a modern-day nomad, somebody who travels the world with his guitar to explore the boundaries of music and humanity. Yet, all of that is not the main reason why Quentin is here. The fact that I am so proud to have him in our podcast has to do with the restrictions on public gatherings during the COVID-19 crisis. Deprived of his art for almost a year, Quentin Dujardin decided on February 14, 2021, to give a concert in a church, respecting the strict conditions imposed on worship. What followed was an incredible and Kafkaesque face-to-face with the authorities in order to objectively illuminate the legal absurdities on public citizenship and artistic expression. Good morning, Quentin Dujardin. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for your invitation, Dimitri.
So, how are you doing? I see that the sun is shining in the Combe Rose.
Yes, I'm right now in Belgium at a house. I'm just coming back from Paris, and the sun is coming here, you know, the sun is there for the almost very first time since 4 months, with gray sky. So it was a quite long time without light, and now it's lightful, so it's fantastic.
Did you play many gigs in Paris?
I was just in Paris for 4 days, just making some promotion for a new album. And so it was more radio live sessions or just meeting medias and a network for a website, you know, promotion for music, magazines. And so it's always great to breathe a little with Paris. It's a city I really appreciate a lot.
And is that a new album with Olivier Kerr-Ouriot?
Yeah, it's around that new production we have done. We have released that album 2 months ago. It's called Serendipity, and it's
a fantastic album, by the way, people. I have it. It plays on repeat here.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's very minimalistic. I mean, it's just a duo with a chromatic harmonica and an island guitar, or what we call classical guitar, basically Spanish guitar, whatever. And with also my baritone one. And it's just so light, so easy to make music with this guy. So it's a real pleasure to go further on with this project and to play gigs also coming in the next month.
In 2021, your name was on the headlines of all newspapers and online news platforms because you defied the Belgian authorities. Suddenly, apart from being a musician, you became an activist on the political scene and a fighter for freedom of expression. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened then?
Well, this is a quite long story, but basically, I was started playing guitar in a church when I was young, very young. I was like 6 years old or seven, I don't remember exactly. And I was used to play the guitar in a church. And when I heard during the COVID that the preacher can give the news to the to the people, immediately occurred for me to think, okay, I could maybe replace the man and play guitar instead of speaking with people. So I'm going to organize a concert replacing the guy, you know? And when I've discovered that it was forbidden for a musician to take that action, to take that chance play, I was so upset. And I was so, really in a deep feeling of absurdity. Do you understand what I say? Absurdity? Is it a right word in English?
Absurdity is this is what we call Kafkaesque, even.
Kafkaesque, that sounds great. Kafkaian in French. Yeah. Great author, French author. Yeah. And so I said I have to stop that stupid, that crazy situation. So I maintained the concert and I said to the media, to the political, that I'm going to play anyway, even if I received 10,000 euros, back to me to pay, that I had to pay. I said, I don't care. I just want to defend my position because I think that I'm in the right way. And this is not acceptable. This is not, you cannot figure out that stupid situation, crazy, for all the culture and all the people working in a liberty of expression, you know, for that. So
did you realize then that you were also taking a stand for other people, or were you making the stand for yourself in the first place?
Well, both, you know. First of all, of course, because of my personal background, it was a real personal attitude, you know, because I've seen many artists in the street taking action, but just by manifestation. What do you call manifestation? Manifestation?
Yeah.
Manifestation. Yeah. Yeah. And to me, that sounds quite good, but not enough. So I really want to go above the red line. And so it's, I think it was necessary to stay with action. Stop. You have to stop stupidity, political stupidity. It's a fact. So to me, that sounds very natural to go there, and also with my courage. And then I realized that it was for all the community, artist community, I did it, you know. And of course, I was arrested after 2 minutes making music. And the scene, sounds like a bad movie, you know, because you can catch the video on YouTube. You can see how it was so stupid and absurd, you know, situation, with a lot of journalists, medias in the church with 15 people and me playing the guitars. And it was like a circus, you know. And I just played, and then the police came in and they stopped me. And then I of course, I was in the headlines for media, but I also decided to go against the state, against that government injustice.
So
also to give justice a chance
instead of paying the fine,
to stand up.
Because you were fined with 12,000, 15,000 euros? Or
yeah. It was 12,000 euros.
so you decided not to pay it.
So I decided to go to justice to say this is more absurd, this is more and more stupid, and I cannot accept that you know I have to fight for my rights. And so I decided to say also to the justice that our executive government has to share now the power with justice. So the justice realized that my case was very innovative. I mean, during the COVID, to say yes, justice has to take back his own power. So that was why I was very also sustained by quite good persons who really understood the action and the intelligence of the action, just to denunciate the, well, we say in French, les deux poids, deux mesures, you
Yeah,
know, different
two weights, two
consideration between each.
measures. And the advocates, the lawyers that supported you, did they realize that you ventured on a path that we call civil disobedience?
Yeah, we never talk about civilian disobedience. I mean, it was more about just taking back the right way for people in general, not only for artists, but saying that there is a path where when it's just absurd, when situation, political situation or human being situation are indecent, you have to take an action. And sometimes it can be a very small action, which becomes huge for the population, which becomes huge for the society. And that's why I decided to take an action instead of going in the street with manifestation with the other artists. I decided to go on my own just to denunciate that absurd situation.
Okay, so you went to
And
court. You went to court. What happened in court?
I was, first of all, in première instance, we say in French, in justice. And of course, the president, the justice president said, it was a woman, she said, "Of course, Mr. Desjardins, you have right. This is so stupid. You can keep going on and play your music for 15 people." So it was for the first round again that the government, we win the fight because of the president. She said, "Of Mr. Desjardins, you can keep going on your concerts," and it's very logical, you know. You can take the place of the priest in the church, and you can play guitars for 15 people. This is normal. There is no more risk of contamination between an artist or between a priest telling the good news, you know. So I was just very happy, of course. But then the government decided to go to the second round, and we call it Cour d'appel in French. I don't know the name in English, but it's a second round where the state is not doesn't agree with the president's decision.
I think we call it
So,
they call it the Court of Appeal.
yeah, that's it. Appeal. Okay. So we've been to the Court of Appeal, and then they said for the second time that, of course, there is equality between cult liberty and expression liberty, liberty of expression. But they said also that artist doesn't, how can I say that? Yeah, they are not a part of that of liberty of expression.
So who said that? The government said that the artists are not do not belong to
That's it.
the big mass that are entitled to have freedom of expression. Did they say that?
Yeah, two times. Yeah, in the very first
So
round.
very first round and in the Court of Appeal, that was their strongest weapon against you?
That was the only argument.
No.
And they said, "Of course, Mr. Desjardins, you are an artist, but you are not belonging to the freedom of expression." So it was like, you know, I'm quite French guy, and for a French guy, that sounds amazing. Because freedom of expression is the basement of any state, you know, of democracy. So I realized that, okay, my government is just a dictature, you know, it's the totalitarianism installed here in Belgium. And I can really say that I really felt that those people are going just to chaos with the people. So I was just waiting for the president of the Court of Appeal, you know, what she's going to think about that situation, about those arguments. But of course, 3 weeks later, she decided to say, of course, Mr. Desjardins, you have right, because they are going crazy, you know, and you can keep going on your concerts, you can keep going on playing music for people, you can keep going on playing music for 15 people in the same setup than for a natural, you know, church Sunday. You know, it's like a very simple thing to figure out. So then I've played more than 80 concerts for 15 people during 2 months. I was playing two times a day, you know, from Thursday to Sunday. And I just took a residence in a very beautiful small church next to my house, you know, and I was going there, you know, every day playing music for 15 people. And they were so much enjoying that moment, you know. There were people so happy, there were people crying, you know, because of rediscovering music after month and month of being forbidden, you know. So that was a fantastic moment. I mean, and so I realized also finally that artists, of course, they are working for freedom of expression, but also they are a very important part of a political fight for that freedom of expression. And also because we have as artists, we have also a big power to take, you know. And also I think that today my job is not only about making music or producing albums, you know, or recording in studio, but it is also to defend that position in society and for people. And when they receive that stupid thought from a state, they have to fight for their rights. And that's what I think, for what I was living at that time.
Did you feel supported by other artists?
Well, I've received hundreds and hundreds of messages supporting me, you know. And what you have to know so is that decision in justice said that, of course, this judgment is also jurisprudence. I don't know the name in English. Jurisprudence.
I think so. It's a precedent.
Yeah, precedent for other artists, and they can take an example from that to defend themselves. In fact, that's quite the same. Signification. And what was your question?
Well, did you feel supported by other artists?
Yeah, of course. And I've received a lot of messages. I've received also a lot of calls, calling with other artists and trying to explain them, take your chance, guys. The door is open now, and just play for people, because the judgment say that if the police came back again, it's me that can give to the police 250 euros as amende.
A fine.
Okay, that's the term. That's the name. I don't know.
Fine. So you can fine the police with 250 euros
exactly
every time they try to arrest you playing music.
Exactly. And it's written, and it's in my pocket.
Okay, and not only you, but if I take the harmonica and I play on the street and they arrest me, I can fine them for 250 euros.
You can use that judgment to defend yourself, of course, because it's done for all artists. So great. That's what the judgment said. Okay. And also what's in that story, the funny thing is that, you know, as you can see behind me, I'm living in a house in Condroz. It's a region in Belgium, very beautiful one. And the particularity of the region is that we have gray stones. So this is gray stones, very strong stones. And I had a big box, a lot of stones in my garden, you know. I mean abundant from all works I've done before. And I've decided to build a stage in my garden and to just to prepare the next COVID period, you know, if they stop music. So maybe I can show you right now the stage, if you want to see. It's just here behind.
You call it the Eye of the Condroz, isn't it? L'œil du Condroz.
Yeah. L'œil du Condroz. Yeah, that's the name of the stage. And here we organize a festival, guitar festival now. It's the second edition in next Augustus. And we organize also concerts for musicians. And it's kind of a culture centrum here, you know. And yes, I'm just going to try to show you. I don't know. So the stage, do you see it?
Well, I see part of it. I don't see the eye. Yeah, now I see it. Yeah, there is a hole. There is a hole in the middle, which is the eye for you, no?
That's it. Yeah.
Is it the eye of God?
Sorry?
Is it the eye of God?
No, it's not exactly that. It's the eye of freedom. You can enter or you can go out, you know. It's the eye of tolerance. It's the eye of acceptation of the others, you know. So that's my one of my belief is that we exist because of the others, and we exchange information. When we play music, we are never alone. I take energy from behind me or above me and I transfer it. So I exist because of that energy, and it comes from the others. So the eye is, it's the meaning of a going in, out, you know, energy is circulating. So that's the for me, the signification of that. The light can come in or come out.
Because when you your argument in court was that your music was a religion, I think that some people may have thought that, okay, here is an artist trying to win a rhetoric argument with some intelligent stuff about the correlation between music and religion. But for you, it's really that. Huh? Music is your religion.
Yeah. Yeah. Music is more than freedom of expression. It's my life, you know. I believe that sound is the biggest, highest level of tolerance. Because there is no words. You don't create separation with people. Because the problem of words is that you create, when you pronounce something, you create separation. But music, you never create separation. This is a very important thing to understand. So that's why energy is circulating. When you practice music every day, you are, I mean, embodied with that feelings every time, you know? So for me, sounds it's probably my most important religion. And religion, basically in Latin, that means religare. That means just link people, you know? So that's what also I believe in. Music is a fantastic link to people. And
Quentin, you come from a family of six children. You have five siblings, and you were all taught to play music at home. Your father is a lawyer, and I understand that he always wanted to become a musician. So he imposed his children to play music. How do you see that today? Because nowadays we feel that a lot of parents are a bit afraid to tell their children to do this or that. How do you look at that? Are you a father yourself?
Yeah, of course. I got three kids.
Do they play music?
Yeah, I mean they are quite young, so but they are very sensitive with music. They love it. They love to dance already, you know, they love to go with the rhythm and to sing sometimes something, you know. So this is the first approach with the sound, with music, rhythm, harmony. and action. And so, but your question was quite good because it's very actual, in fact, about should I have to oblige my children to practice something or something else, you know? I think that it's important to propose and also to give possibilities to children to discover themselves. But I think the role of any adult is to pump the vibe, you know, is to feel, to be aware of the vibe around you and try to keep the best vibe for your family and for your children. Try to propose them good, action, good possibilities to discover. Yeah, just music is a great field, you know, to discover. So
did you feel, were there moments in your youth where you said, oh, I don't want to play any music anymore, and that your father said you will continue? Were there any moments like that?
Yeah, of course. I was like 11 years old, and I was like, of course, I was playing football, you know, I was making a lot of activities. And sometimes when it's too much, you don't have time, or you don't need to practice anymore your guitar, you don't want to. And but my father was always there to say, Quentin, it's important, practice 10 minutes a day, you know, keep in touch with your instrument. And honestly, I really have to thank him for that, you know. So that's why I believe that discipline and receiving discipline from the others is not a bad thing at all. I think it's also giving you a kind of a good stand to practice more the life further, you know, and later on. So it's just a personal experience, and everybody has to deal with those different experiences. But in my case, I really have to thank my father and my mother to give me that chance to see different ways, but always with a kind of discipline, you know, for myself.
Now, you were used to travel the world and to, I mean, they don't call you a musical nomad just for that, because that was really your lifestyle for about 10, 15 years. You went to a country alone with your guitar, you almost not knowing what would happen then, and then you met some musicians and you played music and then eventually made a record. That's what you did for 10, 15 years, is that correct?
Yeah, of course. You know, as I told you just before, my personal story with music was first of all very linked with schools, music schools, you know. And I was, when I was 20, I was very tired of music schools, you know. I was like having big problems with sitting on a chair and listening to people telling me what you have to learn, what you have to study. So I decided to go in the street. For the very first time, I took a flight ticket to a gypsies country called Andalusia.
In Spain.
In Spain, yeah. And I was in the street there trying to make connections with people without even speaking Spanish. So I realized from the very first time in Sevilla, when I came in that big city for the very first time, that so many doors were possibilities of opening the world right now. So when I really felt that those opportunities in front of me, I said, okay, I have to travel. And I did it for a decade, from Spain to Morocco, to Mali, to Madagascar, to Latin America, to India. So it was a normal life for me, and always trying to connect my music with people there in the streets. And so it's fantastic key. The guitar is a great key to enter in families, you know, to discover their music from inside and not from a music school. So that was a very, very, very big approach, very big difference in the approach, in the musical approach.
And now that you have children, I guess that's become more difficult, that lifestyle, no?
Yeah, exactly. It's a different way of life. So I, again, thanks the life for giving me that opportunities during to travel. And now I'm just living as a father, normal father, you know, but still keeping all those landscapes in my head, and knowing that I will learn to my children that it's probably a good door to open, you know, also the travel. But I don't know yet. So I'm just playing music. I'm just producing good sounds and playing music with great musicians also.
Well, anyway, when I saw you in concert 2 weeks ago, I think that's the best way to describe your music. It's that it's a continuity of landscapes, in which, of course, you often, since Olivier Kerourio is from the Île de la Réunion, and some of the songs are also kind of descriptions, musical descriptions of the island, where you feel the African vibe. But I think your music actually is, it makes me dream also when I put it on. You saw that I played the harmonica myself, so I love Toots Thielemans, of course, but Olivier is he has a very distinct personal sound, and certainly you do too. And the way you match, it's beyond belief. I want to thank you so much for the music that you put in the world, Quentin.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dimitri. It's a real pleasure. You know, it's a normal life for me to share music and to share musical vibes. It's necessary for me, for my body, to stay in a good shape and to stay also linked with the world. So thank you for your feedback.
Yeah, so the musician Quentin Dujardin, he will do well. He is not only talented, he has you will have a lot of opportunities. But what happened to the activist, Quentin Dujardin?
Well, you know, I'm very now activist in my garden. It is also my name, Dujardin, from the garden, it means. So I just, as an activist, if I want to just answer to your question, I'm still an activist in my garden, by making concerts here at home, inviting artists. This is also behind me an artist residence where artists are coming here to work, you know, to compose music, to write books, or working for screenplay, for cinema. And this is my way of transforming the energy, political energy. I don't need to go in a parliament, you know, I don't need to go in the street for manifestation. I prefer to be constructive in action with people and putting small seeds in the earth, you know, and keeping on going, rolling the things, you know. I'm kind of rolling stones, you know, just doing every day those little things. And I think that action is much more important than manifestation or political engagement, you know, sometimes. So I'm just working here quietly, first of all, naturally with my family, but also with artists who want to share music, and with also public people. They are very welcome here in my garden. So my garden is a non-political place. I don't have any color, you know. I just defend tolerance, sound, and no separation of people. That's I think, quite courageous value today, because there are so many separation in the world. So just trying at your level, try to keep those links with people. I'm sure I can really respect it in my garden. So I protect that space. And it's a quite big job. Yeah.
Well, with these words, I think we'll say goodbye. And I must thank you very much for not only for your word, for your presence, but also for the blue sky that you proposed to us. So thank you very much, Quentin Dujardin. And for our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast To Restore Your Faith in Humanity. And I hope you will listen to us again and join us in a next episode. Thank you.
Thank you, Dimitri. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
While you're waiting for the next episode of our podcast, why don't you check our website, fondation-ghf.one. You will find a lot of information, interesting thoughts, and fascinating stories there.